الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about your chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals regarding Islam, my faith. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. And don't forget to have your Quran near you. From time to time, I will be referring to it, and I want you to follow along while I refer to a Quran. And you can easily get a Quran from various, go on your website, and you'll be able to get a Quran for free or pay for it. And so it's no problem. At least you have your text, your material that you need in order to attend this class. I prefer you had these things, such as paper, pencil, pen, somewhere taking notes. I might say something and say, oh yeah, let me look this up further. And so you're welcome to look it up, anything that I'm talking about here in any of the classes that I've given now in previous episodes or future episodes, whichever, that you can always look it up and find out more information about what I'm talking about. Or if I'm telling the truth, you can do that too, no problem whatsoever. Also, by the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. And I hope that you attend more classes and invite more people to attend more classes about Islam. Instead of being told what Islam is and what Islam is not, then, okay, let me teach you what Islam is and what Islam is not. If you want to know about a particular subject, then you go to people who know something about that subject, not ask your friend who know no more than you about a particular subject. Or you read something and it influenced you or impact you about a particular subject. You read more about it, study more about it, learn more about it, dig deeper into what it truly is, that particular faith or that particular subject that you want to study or you want to know more about. And so I just want to say that to you regarding Islam or Islamic faith, you can dig deeper, no problem. It is my hope that you will dig deeper, and may you find out more information about what I'm teaching you. And let me give an example, because anything that I'm teaching you in our classes, and we've been at this for almost like 2 years, maybe almost 3 years now, anything I'm teaching you, it's just the tip of the iceberg. And if you know anything about this particular saying, if you will, it's the tip of the iceberg. Then that means the tip of the iceberg is above the water. And then underneath the water is like this almost mountainous, this large kind of ice, if you will, underneath the water, which means that more information, more than what's being shown above the water, is more to this mountain of ice than what's being shown to the top of the water. Same thing for these subjects I'm teaching you. It's more to it. It's more added to it. I can go on and on and on and have several, maybe 20 or 25 different episodes just on one topic alone without getting too deep into it. Scholarly type of work when I'm talking about presentation that I can do. But I'm not going to do it. I'm just giving you some very brief elementary information about Islam and about the faith, the very aspects of the faith. Because people are going to tell you over and over and over again what Islam is and also what Islam is not. I'm telling you, as a Muslim, I've been a Muslim for a long time, a majority of my adult life, I learned a lot of things about Islam, and I'm just going to teach you what I've learned about Islam. And other people may say, no, this man is saying this thing or that thing about Islam. Okay, no problem. They can show their proof opposite of what I'm talking about, or equal to what I'm talking about, or even more than what I'm talking about. I welcome all of this. No problem whatsoever. I just go on by what I've learned and what I understand about Islam, and I'm teaching it to you as my students and being your teacher about the Islamic faith. Now, today we're going to talk about tolerance. So you may say, Imam, what does tolerance mean? I'm talking about tolerance in terms of, say, if you go to a particular dictionary, and tolerance is a recognition of and respect for the opinion, practices, and behavior of others. This is basically you tolerating someone that you may not normally tolerate them, but you do. And in Islam, we are told in various ways to tolerate people. Matter of fact, in the world of great intolerance, particularly towards Islam, we must continue to be tolerant of others. Because a lot of people, as soon as you all know, probably know what I'm talking about. Soon as they hear the word terrorist, they think that, oh, you're talking about Muslims. And every Muslim is not a terrorist, and every terrorist is not a Muslim. And so don't think that because they call someone a terrorist that they are, and that they're Muslim. This is not necessarily the case. It's just that now, in the minds of many people, soon as you say terrorist or terrorism, people identified it with Muslims or with Islam, and this is not true. We are not those kinds of people. That's what people are saying about us, but that's not true about Islam. And those who've been attending my classes for 3 years or so, you know the difference between what Islam is and what Islam is not. Perhaps you became Muslim because of some of the things that I said about what Islam is and what Islam is not. That is certainly your choice to do. I'm just giving you the facts about what it is and what it is not. And so, in an intolerance world where they particularly don't tolerate Muslims, and you have a lot of the world against us as Muslims and Islam, and I'm not here to defend Islam, because Islam really don't need defense. I'm just telling you what Islam is, and you make the decision. When 9/11 happened here in America, meaning when you had these planes, it attacked the Pentagon in D.C., it attacked the World Trade Buildings in New York City, and also crashed into a field in Pennsylvania. When this happened, when these particular situation happened, a lot of people had this kind of attitude towards Muslims, very negative attitude towards Muslims, and for over the last 20 years or so, they've been very vicious towards Muslims, towards our burning our places of worship, attacking us, killing us, and I'm just talking about in America alone, not other places throughout the world. I'm telling you, people done things to us too throughout the world. They were intolerant of us and blaming us for what these people did in these planes on 9/11. But that's the ninth month, which is September 11th day in the 201 year. That's when this particular take place at a particular time. I'm going to go into details about it. You can read about that on your own about 9/11. It not just affected here in U.S., it also affected other people in the world and changing the way people do certain things, particularly when you're talking about going to airports. And most airports in the world, they have a lot more security scanners, and you all know what I'm talking about. You have to go through, take your shoes off, take your belts off, sometimes they touch your hair or they search you, whatever, and this is the kind of things that they do to people mainly because of what happened on a particular day on 9/11. And on after that, after these people did these things and crash these planes or whatever into these various things I mentioned, then they became intolerant of Muslims. They were very, in Islam, they were very vicious towards Muslims, where you have and label Muslims as terrorists, and it's not true. Other people basically can do the same thing. They can bomb things. They can do other things. But people don't, everyone don't against, go against everyone who is of that particular violator's faith or look like that individual. But when you're talking about a person who looks like X, or they from Islam, or identify with the Islam, or look like a Muslim, even some people who look like Muslims, they even attack them, saying you're a Muslim, you have a beard, you have something on your head. So they attack them. And so they become intolerant of Muslims, of people who look like Muslims, and they are very vicious towards us. This is not, it's not definitely to our favor and not fair to us, because you say that these people did it. I didn't do it. I was not in any of those, in those planes. I had nothing to do with planning. Any other people that I know, they were the same thing. But yet and still, we get these attacks from people who basically, really, and it's been ongoing for at least 20 years, ongoing of them attacking Muslims and being intolerant of us and blaming us for what happened on that day, and continue to blame us for what happened on that day, or anything that is terrorist link, if you will. Someone go in and stab people up in what you call a supermarket, or shoot people, and they call them terrorists. Like I said before, anyone that does the same thing, they don't call these particular terrorists. They say they have mental health issues, or they have this, or they have that, but they don't call them terrorists. I know when I hear certain things happen in the world, some kind of mass something, and they don't call them terrorists, that I know they're not identifying the individual as a Muslim. This is a fact. This is a fact, and you all can check out the facts, and you go online for yourself and see for yourself. But I'm going to stop now. Let me try to get back to the to this particular subject of this particular particular class. And matter of fact, this particular class that I'm talking about here, you're talking about tolerance and intolerance. I got to go a little bit further with this, and that's why I started teaching people the Islamic faith and focus. Because I want you to be focused and understand what Islam is and what Islam is not. And hopefully many people are clear thinkers, are logical thinkers, and they say this doesn't make any sense. Matter of fact, I'm going to try to stop here. Matter of fact, I was imam of a particular masjid in the United States. And right when it happened, I believe on a Tuesday that 9/11 took place, people started snatching books off of shelves. I think you heard me say this before. Islam, books on Islam off of shelves, out of libraries, buying books. You couldn't keep an Islamic book on shelf. People want to know what the Islam is. Who are these people that attack us like this? So they started reading it. Really reading it, I'm thinking, Allah knows best, to find out more about Islam. And to maybe even to hate us more. I don't know. Allah knows best what was their intention of reading the information. Or would snatch the things off the library shelf, out of bookshelf, ordered online, whatever they did in order to find out more about Islam, about Islam and Islamic faith. And so the beauty out of this is that when people read this information about Islam and found out the truth about Islam, they came to the masjid. I must have had seven to eight people come to the masjid and took shahada. In other words, they became Muslim. And they bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. That's what they did. They didn't hate us more. They loved us more. And they loved us so much that they became Muslim once they found out what true Islam was. This was at the height, the next day, which was, I believe, was a Wednesday, after the 9/11 took place. And so open your hearts and open your mind to what I'm talking to you about, what I'm explaining to you about what Islam is and what Islam is not. That's why I tell you I am unapologetic when it comes to the rites and rituals of the authentic Islam and what Islam is and what it is not. Now, I'm going to ask you to understand, it is the cohabitation and coexistence in a frame of Islamic vision that respects the other's rights of opinion, belief, and thought. That's what we are all about. We talk about tolerant and tolerating others. Allah says, in terms of forgiveness, show forgiveness, enjoying what is good, and turn away from the foolish, i.e., do not punish them. even someone act foolish towards me. And I had a lot of people do that. I just basically just turn away from them as instructed by Allah and show forgiveness towards them. I don't go after them viciously go after them. I have the intelligence to also go back at them and beat them down until they feel like they're nothing and that they made a mistake by coming after me. But the thing is, I know that their state, they have foolish stuff kind of out of their mouth, and that they really listen to what they're saying, they will stop talking, immediately stop talking. So instead of them stop talking, they continue to talk, I stop listening, and I will walk away from them, as it says here, and walk away or walk away from those who are the foolish ones, or turn away from the foolish ones. Also in terms of charity. But seek, with the wealth which Allah has bestowed on you, the home of the hereafter, and forget not your portion of lawful enjoyment of this world, and do good as Allah has been good to you. And so Allah has blessed people with certain wealth. Those who are listening to me, those you may know or may not know, are blessed with certain wealth. And so we're instructed to, with our wealth that Allah bestowed upon us, is that we just do get lawful enjoyment. We can do that with our wealth. But also we don't want to forget those who are in need and be good. As Allah is good to us that gave us a certain amount of wealth, then also we are to be good to others. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be nice and kind towards others, as I mentioned before about being tolerant and respectful about a person's opinion and their behavior and their thoughts. This is what we're supposed to do. And so also, if we have an opportunity to share with others, and then we share with others. Not saying, no, man, I'm not gonna do anything with them. I had nothing to do with them. I can't tolerate that. I don't want to have anything to do with the individual. No. We don't want to do that. We want to have some individual some interaction with the individual, and we can help them. Then we help them. Yeah, much as we can. And we show mercy to others. And it says, and by the mercy of Allah, you dealt with them ungently. And had you been severe and harsh-hearted, they would have broken away from about you. So pass over their faults and ask Allah's forgiveness for them. And so here was the situation with Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He was with some of the companions, and they did certain things, and he wasn't very pleased with it. And so Allah told him what to do in the situation. And he said to them, and he instructed the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, don't be harsh with them. Don't be severe with them. Because if you do so, they may break away from you. And so we as Muslims have to do that. Not be harsh with other people. Not be harmful to other people, not be hurtful to other people, not be severe to other people. This is what we're supposed to do. And basically, for the most part, tolerate what they're doing and what they're saying, I guess, to some limit, because you have limit where you can walk away from the individual or instruct them, please don't say these things to me. I really don't want to hear these things. And so, but you're still tolerating what they're saying, because you can come at them again viciously, like I said, or you can just say, walk away from the person who has foolishly coming from their mouth. But Allah instructs us to be what? To be merciful and to deal with them gently, those individuals. In other words, be tolerant of the individual. We should also show some type of piety towards other people. And Allah also mentioned, Allah did not forbid you to deal justly and kindly with those who fought not against you on account of religion, nor drove you out of your homes. Verily, Allah loves those who deal equitably. So in this case, equally in a good way. And so we see here that Allah is instructing us to what? To deal justly with people, to be kind towards people, and also to, even if they drive us out of our homes, still, we have a certain amount of respect and respect for those individuals, or piety towards the individuals. I'm not saying, okay, go to Muslims' homes and start driving them out. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying that this is Allah had instructed us to show some level of piety when people act in an impious way towards you. You be humble towards them, although they may not be humble towards you. This is what a Muslim is supposed to do. But I want my students and those who are listening to me, don't go and take advantage of Muslims. Say, well, aren't you supposed to be pious towards me? Aren't you supposed to be merciful towards me? So you want to say that to them so you can harm them. No, don't do that. That is not what I'm saying for you to do, or give you a license to start attacking Muslims. Or you're supposed to be tolerant and patient with us and all these kind of things and merciful towards us so we can do almost anything to you. No, that is definitely not what I'm saying to you. Basically, what I'm saying too is that Muslims have a certain character, the way they should act, and where they should be tolerant of people or individuals. But then again, you have the other side that, okay, if you attack me, attack my family, I'm going to protect myself or protect my family. So let's be clear about this. That this is our position. And don't say, oh, see, I knew y'all were like you were. I knew you were like we say you are. No. That is not true. That's anyone listening to my voice. That they would defend themselves or get bullied, or they would defend their family. This is just a natural human nature for an individual to do. But I am saying, okay, we are a tolerant people, and we tolerate others. We're not intolerant the way people treat us in an intolerant way, but we are a tolerant people. But please respect us. And that's all that I'm saying to you. Give us respect that we give to you, that you should also give to us. And so I want to read a couple more things mentioning here, is that charity is only for poor and the needy and those employed to collect the funds and to attract the hearts of those who have been inclined towards Islam, and to free the captives and for those in debt, and for Allah's cause, meaning fighting in the cause of Allah, and for those wayfarers, meaning the travelers who are cut off from everything, and a duty imposed by Allah. So again, they have a whole list of people that we're supposed to help out, a whole list of people we're supposed to be tolerant towards. And being kind towards and being gentle towards. I have a whole list of people that I mentioned. I'm not going through the list again, because of course you can look it up for yourself about this long list that I mentioned. And a matter of fact, that'll be your homework that you can do to find out about the people that we are to give charity to, and that we are to help out and show some level of patience. And sometimes people, they see a homeless person and they don't have a lot of patience with that person. They're like, ilk, I don't want to have anything to do with you. But just think, some people are one paycheck away from being like those people, one paycheck of being homeless. You can be rich today and poor tomorrow. Even in a nice big house today and tomorrow, you could be on the streets begging people. And so you never know what situation you're gonna put you in. You might go to sleep tonight with a bank full of money, or pocket full of money, or whatever full of money, safe full of money, and then wake up and the next day and you have absolutely nothing at all. For some reason it was taken away from you, and you end up homeless. And then the people treat you the way you should treat others who were homeless. And I hope you never experience anything like that. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, in a town called Taif, which is not far from Medina, from Mecca, he was talking to people about Islam. The local people threw stones at him until blood flowed to his feet. Blood flowed down to his feet. Allah sent an angel of the mountains who said to him, "If you wish, I may slap the two mountains on them," or snap the two mountains on them. The Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, because what happened is that Taif was between two mountains. They're like sandwiched between two mountains. And then the angel of the mountains, we have angels for various things. Allah put them in charge. Allah's in charge of everything, but Allah put them in charge of certain things. The rain coming down, the leaves coming down, this kind of thing. Allah put them in charge of the angel of death, an angel to write down a good deed, a bad deed. You go to from my previous episodes, classes, and you learned about the angels and what they some of their responsibilities are. You have an angel of death that takes your soul away, an angel that questions us in the grave. So you have different types of angels. So this was angels of the mountains, and the type was between two mountains. And they said, look, Prophet Muhammad, these people, you go to talk them about Islam, and they did what? They harm you. And so they made the blood flow down to your stone at you and made blood flow down to your shoes. And so just give me the word, and I'll take the two mountains that is on each end of this village or this town, and I press these mountains together, and I smash and kill everyone inside this town. But what did the Prophet Muhammad, he say to the angel? He said to the angel, no. I hope Allah may bring from the following generations who believes in monotheism. In other words, he said to them, don't do it. Don't kill these people. Or they treated me the way I treated them. He's saying, don't treat them in like manner or even worse. Don't smash and kill them, because it may come a time where these people or the next generation may become Muslims and believe in monotheism. And so I want to just mention these few things to you. And so there was also a man who the Prophet had detained. And so the Prophet had ordered he was generous and kind towards a man, and he ordered that his companions be generous and kind towards the man. He collected what he had for food, and he sent it to this particular man who was detained. And so, because of the treatment of the Prophet and his companions, this man became a Muslim. This man was a captive. He was really, he used to go around saying negative things about Muslims and the like, this kind of thing. And now he wasn't a friend of Islam and a friend of the Muslims. And so, they could very easily have gotten rid of him, killed him, or whatever. He was basically a prisoner of war, but they detained him. Even our prisoners of war, we have a certain way to treat them. And we are to feed them what we eat, clothe them how we eat, and that kind of thing, and not torture them like some people do. So we don't waterboard them or put in nails or whatever it is. We don't do these kinds of things, even to the people who fight against us and kill some of us. That's not what we do as Muslims. And so this man was detained, for whatever reason was detained, and also a Prophet gave him good food and treated him well and told the companions to do the same thing. And because of him being treated well and given proper food and so forth, this man becoming a Muslim. And so I want you all to keep all these things in mind. I want to mention one other thing, and that is the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, and his companions were chased out of Mecca. But when they returned with a large and strong army, meaning like 10,000 strong, they came back with. They left with from a handful of people from Mecca to Medina, and they came back years later, 10,000 strong. And they were a large and strong army, and told the people not to be afraid, and that it was safe for them to come out of their homes. They would not be harmed. And so the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he had opportunity to get them back. The way they treated him and his companions, chased them out of Mecca, harmed them, beat them, dragged them across sand and placed them on sand and rocks on their chest, and boycotted them, took food away from them. They were selling things to them where the companions that they were eating, they were eating leaves and other things like that just to try to survive. And so they treated them the way they treated them. Matter of fact, the Prophet ﷺ, he lost two of his beautiful friends or relative, with his relative Abu Talib, his uncle who took care of him, but he died Muslim, and his first wife Khadija, who he loved her even after she died, and she was Muslim and the first woman to embrace Islam, and he loved this woman so much, and she died during a year of sorrow while he was in Mecca. And so this is a situation I want you to understand, that he told people, don't be fearful, Don't worry about it. We're not here to harm you. Come back. We're not going to treat the way you treated us. Come back, and you're going to be okay. Come on outside. You will not be harmed. We will not be harmed by us. And I want to mention something else to you. And it says, O you who believe, stand out firmly for Allah as witnesses, and let not the enmity and hate of others make you avoid justice. Be just, that is nearer to piety, and fear Allah. Verily, Allah is well acquainted with whatever you do, or with what you do. So even those people who are, we treat everyone in a just manner. It doesn't matter who it is. Even when non-Muslims come to us and a Muslim had treated them wrong or something like that, then the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he listened to both sides and he judged according to the weight of the evidence. He followed the evidence. And if the non-Muslim was correct, he would say, non-Muslim, you are correct. I wouldn't say exactly say non-Muslim, you're correct, but he told him that you correct. He that wasn't on someone's side because they were Muslim. And if the Muslim was correct, they would say, okay, you are correct. That's what we're supposed to do when you talk about being just and tolerate of others and respecting others. That's Islam, and that's a Muslim that we're supposed to be. And I want you to understand this program is about what Islam is and what Islam is not. And we are very tolerant people. To find out and learn more about Islamic faith and increase your knowledge of the Islamic faith, visit Why Islam. You also go to International Online University and American Open University. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.